So, Ajahn, one thing I'd like to ask you, and I think you touched on this in the talk. I mean, I found it incredibly helpful, both regarding a life situation that I'm experiencing right now, where I can see, this self view coming up and these tendencies around it's a bit of a program that I have where, when things go wrong to think it's my fault. So, which I feel is, a form of self view. One that gets played out quite often. It's just that habit to, when things go wrong, think it's my fault. I sort of have two questions really. One is about, responsibility, and perhaps we can experience that more when we have a lot of responsibility, where we have jobs or roles, where we are shouldering quite a lot of responsibility, so we can that tendency can be more pronounced, maybe, and how we can work with that skillfully while, seeing it as self-view and maybe giving it some space. But at the same time, continuing with our responsibility and doing the best we can. And the other thing was just about around vulnerability, because I've just heard that mentioned before about making yourself vulnerable, and I think you touched on that in your talk. And what exactly is it to, what exactly is it that's being asked of us,
To be vulnerable.
to be vulnerable? Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, those are two things. So I think the first thing you had mentioned about responsibilities, that's, yeah, I mean, that's something that's very alive for me right now, because there's just a lot of responsibilities, and I'm just one of the other monks is actually going to take on one of the larger responsibilities that I have. And there is a feeling of just like wanting to party or something, just being so happy. And so we can see that when we have a lot of responsibilities, there is a weight there that occurs for us, that there's something that we feel sometimes that's heavy for us when we're carrying essentially a lot of burdens, because we're having to step up to the plate and do more than possibly what we think we can manage, or also recognizing that it increases the stress levels for us when we have so many things that we're having to do. And so that can exist in a certain way in a vacuum, in a sense of like this whole sense of not seeing that and just knowing I just got to do these things and get these things done. And we can really move into that, just ignoring suffering and difficulty and judgments around when we do something wrong, and we just kind of keep plowing through. But yet at the same time, what's being kind of sacrificed is our own awareness and our own experience. And we can compound that, as you were talking about, that sense of judging that can occur. For example, if you have more responsibilities, you're likely to make more mistakes. And the more responsibilities you have, the more times you're going to be juggling something and not get something right. There's going to be something there. And all of us have certain responsibilities, but some of them are more burdensome Some of us have an easier time with them because we're used to them and they just become very easy for us to do. But they tend to take up a lot of time and mental space for us. And because of that mental space, we can feel sometimes we don't have an ability to actually use our practice to kind of, in a way, stay ahead of that kind of movement forward into just doing and doing and doing and doing. And so it's not easy. And I think sometimes one of the answers is actually to divest ourselves of something, like I said, with just something that I'm taking care of. So when it's possible, if there is an overwhelm and we have a potential to let go of some of those things that are greater burdens on us, there are sometimes occurrences where we're holding on to it because it actually has to do with this sense of self. Like, I'm doing this, I'm not going to let go of this thing because I want to have this feeling of me doing this thing, and I don't want somebody else to do it. I want to do it. So when we're in that position, it's super useful to actually look at that and say, like, well, like, what's that about? Why can't I actually put that thing down? You know, why is it that I think I have to be the one to do that? Why can't another person do that? Why can't I give that responsibility to somebody else? And then on the and so that's just something to think about in terms of, like, okay, like, sometimes we are it's not we might be surprised if we ask ourselves, well, is it necessary for me to do that? I think I remember, like, even, you know, financially, of course, people are often worried about what's going on for them financially and whether they can afford a certain sort of status of living or a way of living that will be okay for them in the future. And I remember one monk just saying, well, why not be okay with being kind of poor? And he was saying, if that'll allow you more time for your practice, like, is that something you're holding on to? I don't mean you, Vivian, but I just mean a person who might be dealing with a lot of responsibilities. That could be something that, as an example, is like, well, no, I don't want to live in a way that actually isn't comfortable for me. So then he said, well, then what's more important, like your comfort or your time that you have to practice the Dhamma? And he was suggesting, like, yeah, can you still maintain a standard level of living? And have a part-time job or something like that. So it might be a very different answer to what you were actually asking, but the more that we sometimes have in terms of our responsibilities, it can be actually a difficulty for us to have presence of mind, and it can be difficult for us to find the space, the mental space to be able to kind of cultivate the Dhamma in a way so we are aware of our own sort of foibles, or, as you were talking about, judging ourselves or whatever it is. So that's just some a way that I think was to you know to that I was thinking about that question in terms of, like, the inner tyrant and that kind of judgment we have of ourselves of not being good enough. I think that's just very normal. And it's sort of like funny because someone who's dealing with doing a lot of things and having to be responsible for a lot of things, there can be this sense of, I'm just not good enough and I'm terrible, but yet one is doing an enormous amount of things. So that's pretty ridiculous to hold those two at the same time, because, well, yeah, like, how can we actually do a great job of something if we are, you know, spread thin. So that's just a sort of a fact of life, with when we have a lot that we have to do. In terms of vulnerability, I think that vulnerability for me and what that means is that there's a willingness to put ourselves in situations where we don't want, and we are afraid to be in those situations. We are afraid to do something, And yet we're willing to feel that discomfort and fear, and we're also willing to be open about our feelings about those things. So in other words, it's like to be able to tell people, like, yeah, I'm having a hard time, or no, I'm not the perfect person that I'm painting myself, I've been painting myself out to be, or whatever it is. And it's putting ourselves in that sort of risky area that most human beings kind of are like, no, I don't want to go there. You know, especially when it's in emotions involved, there's a sense of I don't, why would I want to be afraid? You know, why would I want to experience anything in a negative way voluntarily? And that there can be a sense of measure for him for certain people, that it's like, well, some people might, it might actually not benefit them to go so far, you know, to be so open. They might need to learn that gradually. But eventually, you know, when one is no longer concerned about their own self-preservation, and I don't mean like physical or physical bodies, but more like that sense of like protection around who and what I am, you know, would, like, just imagine being in a room with just like 100 people laughing at us, not with us, but at us. And like that might be like the worst thing. People might, it might be feeling like that prisoner, you know, who's on suicide watch. But being vulnerable is actually like allowing that potential, that to be a witness of that, and to take an interest in that, and to see that that's just it's just a situation, it's just a experience, and then to grow from it. So I remember being in a group situation where there was a lot of criticism of me in that group, and it was just like months of like afterwards kind of trying to process that. And so I think that a part of me wanted to just be like point at the rest of the group, in my mind afterwards. You know, this person's wrong, that person's wrong, that person's wrong. And indeed, I heard things that were incorrect. I heard things that were misunderstandings, and they really genuinely were wrong. But yet there were things that were true, and I had to kind of really have a sense of that. Like, what can I, you know, what can I do about that? You know, what is it that I can kind of take in and allow for myself, so that it's you know, it's something that I can grow from. And to me, that's what vulnerability is. You know, it's like, it was A, to be able to go into that group, but B, it was also like, it's not just like, okay, I throw myself in there and then I listened to all these things, and it all went so that everybody felt heard, and that was great. And then I left, and great, I was vulnerable, so we're done. No, actually, what happened afterwards was the work. You know, that was the vulnerability work. So yeah, sorry that was such a long answer, but it was something I felt compelled to answer.
Oh, thank you very much, Ajahn. That's really, really helpful. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question, please? Yes, Chow.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ajahn, for the Dharma talk. I just have a question regarding a case, like a relative who have seen more than once, like other people also, where especially old age, sickness, and death, and then like where they, a person who has a faith in the Buddha, but then because of one thing happening after other, like getting old and getting sick from one sickness to another, it kind of and the person kind of get drowned into that the suffering, so, and then start losing faith, and no longer practicing. So, and I can see that because when you are sick, you get into medication, you lose your mind, and then at the end, there's no more practice of the Dharma. I guess there's no more awareness. And how does one can, maybe as a outside person, help that person go back to the Dharma? Or maybe in my case, for example, if I get like drowned into the physical suffering, like how do you hang on your Dharma until the end?
Well, I think you hang on to your Dhamma until the end by preparing yourself. The thing that I think a lot of us, and I would include myself in there, is that there is an avoidance of what you're talking about, that we're going to end up in the circumstance where it's going to be very difficult to keep our minds steady. We're going to be in a circumstance where it might be difficult to handle extreme pain. We can be in a different circumstances where we can go into feeling depressed and anxious and terrible, because a lot of it is depending on how our bodies feel. And it's like when we get sick, we have a cold or something, the first thing we think about is, how can I get this out of my system? How can I go back to feeling normal again? And so it's a real condition around ignoring this as part of our lives, that as I've been aging, like, things are changing in my body, and I don't have the same abilities I have to heal, or the flexibility or strength or whatever it might be. But yet I can ignore that and continue to ignore it. Like, well, I'm pretty vigorous, I can still get up early in the morning and walk around, and I can go and do this and that. But it's just ignorance. It's just changing. And so we will kind of move in that direction, if we aren't preparing ourselves each day for this. If we aren't preparing ourselves for what is going on with your family member, that's a reality for us. So what they're going through is what each one of us is potentially going to go through. And I don't have an answer for you about, like, sort of a magic bullet about how to bring them back to being faithful. But without that sense of, this is happening to all of us, and that this was going to happen, this is natural. The natural path of all of our lives is to not be hit by a bus on the road and die instantly. It's like, we're probably going to face some sort of major illness, and pain, and just a lot of dukkha, and things that we've never experienced before in terms of the gravity of that. And so it's important to just keep paying attention to that, and like work with illness, and work with feeling rotten, or not wanting to practice when we're not feeling well, because that's the time that we actually want to. As much as I don't like it in the monastery, people do these all-night sits. I've never been a huge fan of them. I did them for a number of years and got kind of burned out. But when you're trying to sit at night at like 2 in the morning, and maybe you get a second wind at a certain point, but sometimes you don't, and man, it is just like wanting to be dead. Just like the body's shutting down, and you're trying to stay awake and can't, or even doing walking meditation is a labor. And so why would you torture yourself? Well, it's not torture. It's, waking up to, like, well, how am I going to deal with this? This is what dying is like. Actually, it's a lot nicer than what dying is like, because I'm not necessarily in that much pain. I'm in a lot of mental pain. So sometimes we want to really try to work with these, so that as this happens, we aren't going to be so challenged in our old age. We aren't going to be having a mental breakdown, or a loss in our interest in Dhamma. And just what sounds like your family member's experience is called annihilation. They're just like, get me out of here. This is vibhavatantha. They're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then we cease to have an interest in our own mental anguish being released. So yeah, that's. Just do your best to take care of yourself, and with your family member, it's sort of like, this is how things go. So. sort of working with that.
Thank you, Monte.